This podcast contains content that may be disturbing to some listeners. Check the episode description for more details and resources. And please take care of yourself. It wasn't until I started hammering on the door with no answer that anxiety kicked in and I really thought Kim might be dead inside.
Kim! Oh.
The door opened and I stumbled forward, nearly knocking into her. Kim had her arms crossed, dressed in black sweatpants and a green tank top. She uncrossed her arms and held up her phone.
You called me 10 times.
Yeah, to make sure you were still alive.
I was sleeping.
Her eyes were red-rimmed and glassy, as if instead of sleeping, she'd been up on a 3-day bender.
It's noon. How are you feeling?
I'm alive. So you got what you came for.
You still have soup in the fridge? I'm heating it up for you.
Fine.
She sat on the couch in the living room while I went into the kitchen, really part of the same room separated by half a wall. Behind the kitchen-living room divider, I could hear Kim coughing, stifled as though she was hoping to suffocate the sound. Kim wasn't usually an if I can't see it, it's not happening type of person, so I had to assume this was for my benefit.
How's Terry enjoying Japan?
He likes it a lot. He's gotten to go to all of these nerdy medical panels.
Sounds great for him.
I brought the soup to Kim, who had thrown a thin yellow blanket over her shoulders. She reached forward when I put the bowl down, and I felt her forehead.
What are you doing?
You have a fever.
A fever isn't what's going to kill me.
You're such a pain.
Love you too, Sadie. Don't you have things to do?
Perks of being psychotic. I don't have a full-time job.
Happy for you.
How's Kim?
I glanced over at the couch. Kim had fallen asleep not 10 minutes into a particularly bad rerun of an old comedy. I had moved to the chair after I'd covered her more fully with a blanket.
I mean, she's sick. I think she's trying to hide how sick she is.
Sending her my love.
I'll let her know. You'll be home for dinner?
Yeah. I'll ask my mom to pick Marina up from school, okay?
Sounds great. Love you.
Love you.
I hung up the phone, lost in my own thoughts for a minute of Marina's first day of school. Zora had dressed her in what was formerly her favorite Moana t-shirt and a faded pair of jeans Zora's sister Leah had given us after Leah's daughter had grown out of hers. Zora never blamed me for not being there, but I still blamed myself. Sometimes.
Fuck.
You okay?
Ugh, I feel like death.
I got up and got her a glass of water, then went into the bathroom to find a thermometer. How did they only have those ear ones? Did those even work?
Use this. Do you have anything with electrolytes?
There's a... that blue crap your daughter likes in the fridge.
Gatorade?
Behind the Gatorade, more soup, arroz caldo, squash.
Sure.
You keep this here for Marina?
It's 102.
That's high. Maybe we should go to the hospital.
Your brain doesn't get melty until like 105 or something.
Very scientific.
I brought the Gatorade over and a damp cloth from the kitchen, one with chickens on it.
We're not waiting for your brain to melt.
I took the thermometer from her.
It's 102.4.
Same thing.
Not the same. We should go to the hospital.
I'll go in another degree. If it hits 103.5, I won't argue.
Kim, this is serious.
So am I promise. 103.5.
How about 103?
Fine.
She immediately started coughing again. I moved next to her and pressed the cool cloth to her forehead. I sat there and rubbed her back until she fell asleep. I didn't remember closing my eyes, but I must have, because when I opened them again, 2 hours had passed. I looked down at Kim, her head in my lap, her skin pale and breathing shallow. When I checked again, she had a fever of 103.1. Gently, I moved Kim's head and slid out from under her to call Terry.
Sadie?
Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you. I completely forgot about the time difference.
No, it's okay. What's going on?
I'm taking Kim to the hospital. She's really sick.
I'm coming home.
Terry!
No, I shouldn't have left. I'm getting on the next flight.
Zora can come pick you up at the airport.
Thank God for you both. What about Marina?
Zora's parents are around.
Okay, I'll let you know as soon as I find out when I'm coming in. There's a bag in our closet with clothes and stuff in case this happened.
No problem.
The line went dead and I went into the bedroom to grab Kim's cancer bag from her closet. When I came back into the living room, Kim was struggling to sit up on the couch, her eyes still half closed.
Terry?
Had we gotten to the brain melty already?
No, it's Sadie.
Oh, Sadie.
She cut herself off when she started hacking up a lung into the chicken cloth, hunched over and struggling to breathe. I went over to her and put a hand on her shoulder for support, maybe for her, and maybe for me. When she pulled the cloth away, there were small spots of blood between the cartoon chickens. One of them had blood on its eye.
We're going to the hospital. Can you stand?
Yeah.
She stood and made it as far as a chair before she stopped and sat down, out of breath. I slipped my shoes on, grabbed Kim's keys, and rushed back.
You're going to lean on me, okay?
Without waiting for her to reply, I put her arm around my shoulder and half-helped, half-dragged Kim to the door. We made it as far as the porch when she broke away from me to lean against the railing, coughing up more blood onto Terry's garden below. She stopped for a moment to remember how to breathe again and then reach for me. I helped her into the back seat and then called Terry from the front.
There's a flight in 6 hours. I'll be there by noon tomorrow.
I'll tell Zora. We're 5 minutes out from General.
Sadie, are you sure? I mean, will you be okay going into the hospital?
I promise you, my dead son and suicide are the last things on my mind right now.
Just take care of yourself, too.
It's not even the same hospital.
Promise me.
Promise, promise.
Okay. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
The line went dead. I wiped my eyes on the back of my hand and looked back at Kim in the rearview mirror. Blood had tainted her lips red. She hadn't moved. I'd been back at the hospital for 2 hours or so the next day when I heard Kim move next to me. I put down the magazine I'd been reading and grabbed her hand.
Hey, you're okay. You're in the hospital.
Kim cracked one eye open. Someone had taken off the oxygen mask they'd put on when we'd come in, but she still had tubes going up her nose. Her left arm had 3 different bags of fluids going into one vein.
What happened?
Your brain got up to melty. You have pneumonia. Turns out weeks of chemo sucks for your immune system.
Part of me was glad Kim hadn't been awake when they told me the day before. I had broken down crying, sure that pneumonia at this stage was a death sentence. A far too kind nurse had to assure me that it wasn't.
Who knew? I mean, at least it's not the cancer. Thanks for not letting me die, I guess.
Stop talking.
I should call Terry.
He's on his way. Actually, he should be here any minute.
Ugh, I feel bad.
I promise. He loves you more than he loves nerding out at some conference in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We heard Terry before we saw him. Not yelling exactly, but his voice louder than usual. I poked my head out of the door and called his name.
Terry!
He and Zora turned around. The nurse at the desk behind them looked a little relieved, honestly. Terry ran toward me, Zora right behind him. I held the door open, and he went right to Kim, sitting in the chair I just vacated. He grabbed her hand.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
She's not supposed to talk much, but of course she can't stand not to sass me.
Thank you both for everything.
Yeah, because you've never done anything for us.
Thanks again for not letting me die, Sade.
Anytime. We'll stop by tomorrow.
I'll keep you posted.
Terry got up and gave us both hugs. When we left the room, Terry was already back by Kim's side, holding her right hand with both of his.